Earlier this fall, a remarkable documentary, Alive Inside, had an extended run at the Mariemont Theater. The film shows how music evokes responses in people with dementia, and the results are often breathtaking. That's no surprise to our guest, James D. Rosenberger, actor, musician, and certified clinical musician. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us what a clinical musician is.
Unlike a lot of people know about music therapy, which is a very active service, what I do as a therapeutic musician is a passive role. I go into hospice, hospital, clinical settings, any place I can soothe a person, make them feel better, and offer a one-on-one kind of musical experience catered to their needs.
How did you get into this? Because you've had a broad range of experiences ranging from acting, performing, vocal performance.
I've done a little bit of everything. It seems like I'm a Swiss Army knife. I even had some of my videos enshrined at the Memory Palace at the Contemporary Arts Center in September. So I get that question a lot. Actually, the simple answer is I started doing it for my father. He was in a community up in central Ohio, and one of the great joys he had was if I would come and play the songs that he knew and reminisce.
Let's talk a little bit about that amazing movie, Alive Inside, which we both have seen. And it sounds like you're doing exactly what the documentary documents.
Well, Oliver Sacks, of course, is a large role in all of this because he was the guy that first understood the role of the phonological loop in the person's brain and how memory triggers are activated by music. So I use music as a way of connecting with people first and foremost, and then I find you can slip in a therapeutic message underneath it. Some people may call it entertainment, but that's all right if it makes it pleasing for them. And if I can lift just one person out of despair in a day, I feel like I've done my job.
Well, there are astonishing statistics about the efficacy of music. And on your website, you quote the statistic that says a half hour of live music produces the same results as 10 milligrams of Valium. And there were similar kinds of referrals to statistics in Alive Inside.
I think a lot of people may not know that your sense of hearing is the first one to develop, and it's the last one to leave us when we die. It's such a profound connection for us. And so, you know, I always say the eye is much less forgiving than the ear. And if you can combine them both and get that therapeutic benefit from it, it's just great.
Can you give us some examples of experiences you've had working with patients who had been previously unresponsive?
I think one of the songs that always gets a response is Goodnight Irene, which is, of course, traced back to a local Cincinnati boy from years ago. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, oh, my sister's name was Irene. We sang that for her on her birthday, et cetera, et cetera. And it always triggers them back to a moment. And that's when I know I've made the connection. And that's when I know I've engaged them as a person instead of being a resident in a nursing home community or a patient, you know, in that sense. It's trying to engage people is my job.
Do you find that there's a sustained kind of an effect that once you've sung to someone, that kind of effect can be maintained with persistent singing?
Actually, what I've discovered, this is my 8th year of doing this service, and what I have learned from my activity director friends is they tell me that the people's mood is so enlivened after my visit, they've tended to book things directly after me so that they've got people who, are engaged and feeling good about themselves, and that makes me feel great.
These are clearly the kinds of things that people who are dealing with family members with dementia, these are things that they can do. With all due respect to your training, it doesn't take a clinical therapist, a clinical musician to sing to someone. I know I've done that for my parents as
Absolutely true, Anne. And I think it was Dick Clark who said music is the soundtrack of our lives. That's so true. If you can reconnect older people with music that was popular when they were young and vibrant and feeling alive, it takes them back. It literally does that memory trigger and puts them in a very good place. That's why Alive Inside advocates the use of putting a soundtrack on an iPod so that they can have their own customized remembrances triggered by those music. And that's the way to do it.
You said that you were fortunate enough to spend some time with the composer of the score for Alive Inside, Ital Shore. Tell us about that.
Well, the Shore family, of course, has a long tradition in Cincinnati with their father being who he was with all his work. And just having that continuity is so wonderful. And having somebody, I've had a post on my website to that movie long before the movie even came out. It actually was brought to my attention when I got my training as a certified therapeutic musician. And it's just so powerful to see, because sometimes you feel like an island, you know, mm-hmm. and to be able to talk to somebody who gets it and can offer their insights, it was just a great morale booster for me.
That film, incidentally, will be out on video in November, so I hope that many of our listeners will have a chance to check it out. It is a profound and powerful film. I want to ask you, you also perform as part of a duo.
Yes, PB&J. Mm-mm, good. We don't stick to the roof of your mouth. I do that with my friend Penny McDaniel, who I've been great friends with for 20-some years. We started singing together 10 years ago. We'll do about one or two times a month.
And do you also perform at nursing homes and rec centers? And
we exclusively work with seniors. That's really the niche that Penny and I have carved out. We do both pure concerts as well as combination of storytelling and concerts combined. We're going to be doing just such a program on, if I can do a blatant plug, on December 22nd at the Anderson Community Center on Beachmont Avenue. This will be our second year of doing a kind of a seasonal favorite, so we're looking forward to going back.
As the population ages, specifically we, do you find that you have to shift your soundtrack a little bit?
I'm always shifting and adding and bringing things in. You know, the reality is a person turns 65 every 7 seconds. And I think once we come to grips with that, instead of trying to ignore it and embrace it and find out how our generation can make it even better and more enlivened and engaging, you don't have to be a number. You don't have to be abandoned. You don't have to fall into despair. But when you're put into some of the communities that there are and people abandon you, or they really just don't pay attention to you except as a number, those people are crying out to be contacted. So for me, it's just a blessing. And I, as I've always said, I get more out of these sessions, I think, than the residents do.
Are you finding that medical professionals are more willing to work with clinical musicians, therapeutic musicians, or are there still a lot of obstacles?
On both of the coasts, you'll find all kinds of practices like this that have been embraced. Unfortunately, the Midwest is a little slow to catch up, and I have had a difficult time with hospitals and hospice settings understanding the value. But part of what I need to do is educate people, and I'm happy to do it. That's why I appreciate very much having the chance to talk with you today.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me. My guest has been James D. Rosenberger, Certified Clinical Musician. You can learn more about his work by going to our website, wvxu.org. And James, why don't you take us out with one of the favorite songs that you play? For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ann Arenstein.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Sing along. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.